You know what it's like to be on the bill and to play for 15 minutes, and the only people there to see you are the other bands and their girlfriends.
From Buffalo, New York, where we're still not sure who gave birth to Shark Girl, it's the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, where we talk about the ups, downs, lefts, rights,
monotony, fatigue, ennui, and isolation
of the Buffalo music scene. My name is Ryan Gurnett. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, Ryan. My name is Kelly Gurnett, and I may or may not be doing this against my will.
Blink twice if you need to escape. No one can see a blink. On episode 53 of the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast, we'll be playing new music by Not For Nothing, Whitetails, Bastard, 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 and Cardiac Cassette. I'll also be re-examining last week's talk about Smash Mouth, and then I might be burning the house down.
As someone who's stuck living with you for the foreseeable future, I'd prefer that you don't.
Welcome to the Struggle Is Real, Kelly. Buffalo's number one kamikaze podcast. All right. So, but first, well, obviously, Corona's canceled everything. So, it happened slowly at first.
And then real fast.
And then, yeah, real fast.
And now it's the apocalypse. Woo, woo.
So, yeah, my Planned Parenthood show was canceled, and then Marty was like, you know, well, you could still have people in bars. He's like, well, let's put on something small and see if we can still raise some money. And I think like 10 people came at that point. It was just no one wanted to be close to it anymore. So we will be rescheduling it with all the same bands if possible. There'll probably be a couple changes, but I'm really excited about that. And someone put up a post, and he's like, oh, well, Ryan Gurnett's going to be the guy to know about, like, bands streaming and, like, when and where to check stuff out. And it's like, I don't know. Like, it's amazing to see all these musicians doing their stuff online now, but you can just pop onto Facebook at any time and see about a dozen different musicians going, which is fantastic. So, for me, I've been taking a break. I've been working real hard for the last two and a half years, and I kind of almost felt, with everything I had going on, I was a little worried about burning out. I was a little worried about my personal health. So the silver lining I'm going to take out of this is that I can take in some time to refocus and rest myself. And a lot of time has been going into WNYmusic.com, which I wanted out in January 2020. And let's pray for April.
And the silver lining is that in, like, day two of our lockdown, he got so bored that he cleaned the apartment of his own volition.
Manic cleaning Ryan.
Let's see how long that lasts.
Yes. So, we've been watching a lot of 90 Day Fiancé.
Can I swear?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah!
Of course. Of course you can swear.
I got him into that one, guys. I don't feel any regrets.
So, folks, it sucks that you can't be around, well, you shouldn't be around your bandmates. Seriously, don't go and practice. Don't all get together to stream together. It's really nice that you guys are trying to do that and that you love the music this much. Just stay apart. It'll be better in the long run for everyone. And, you know, something I've been saying is, you know, bands should be taking this time to, you know, make sure your bio's up to date. You know, there's so many bands who don't have any information on their Facebook page, or sometimes I'll go into Spotify and look for a band. Cypher is a really good example. There's like 15 bands called Cypher, and since no one puts a bio in their Spotify page, it's impossible to find the one you're looking for. So, you know, this stuff doesn't take a lot of time. It really just takes one day of focus when a lot of you people are just stuck at home looking for things to do right now. So, really, you know, take this time, focus on your social media presence, how everything looks, how you're going to engage with your crowd, and then when this is finally over, hopefully you'll have an even bigger crowd that you can get to come to your shows coming out the gate. So, yeah.
Damn straight.
Damn straight.
Listen to the man.
Yeah. I like you as a co-host.
We'll see how long this attitude lasts.
She just agrees with me. This is great.
I'm just playing hype man right now.
I like that.
What?
Okay, so
yeah.
on our last episode, and if you haven't heard this, please go back and listen to it. That episode with Chelsea last a couple weeks ago is one of the most fun episodes I've had. We were talking about the lead singer from Smash Mouth, and I found this weird article talking about how the lead singer of Smash Mouth wouldn't eat 2 dozen eggs to make like $100,000 for Make-A-Wish or something. And we're sitting there reading it, and I mean, I'm pretty much assuming it's a comedy bit. Like it's just like, well, why didn't they pick any other celebrity? Why does it have to be the guy? Like, there are so many unanswered questions, and at the end of the segment, I said, it's probably not true, but I really hope it is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is. Oh my God, I'm so happy about this. So there's a Vice.com article by John Hedren, and it's titled "I Made the Smash Mouth Guy Eat a Shit Ton of Eggs." Oh man, let's see if I can get through this without laughing. So I'm not going to obviously read you the whole article, but I did take just a 4-paragraph snippet that I wanted to share just to kind of, you know. And seriously, if you like it, check the rest of it out. I think this guy is a genius. So here are his words. "I'm not bragging. On the contrary, this is a confession. I, along with several thousand internet people, forced his hand and made the otherwise nice enough lead singer from Smash Mouth eat eggs until he either cried or was sweating so hard it looked like crying. I'd almost go as far to call it extreme cyberbullying. Yeah, now that I think about it, I guess we cyberbullied the all-star guy. It began on a Thursday night late last year. I know this because I remember getting pretty drunk before realizing it wasn't Friday. Smash Mouth's account had just been verified by Twitter, but they had really no activity and only 200 followers. Naturally, as things go on the internet, we accosted it with dumb stuff. But the dumbest of all was a challenge I issued to Steve Harwell, the band's lead singer, to eat 2 dozen eggs for Make-A-Wish. The reason this even became a thing at all is because Smash Mouth is a group of local boys from my town of San Jose, California, and are arguably the most culturally relevant young men this place has ever produced. That is, if you're not counting Screech from Saved by the Bell. I went to my kitchen and made sure I had a pot big enough to boil 24 of them at once. Of course, this was all in fun and definitely never going to actually happen until a different Twitter user piped up and offered $100 to charity if Steve would eat the eggs. Then another person did, and someone else, and then 4 or 5 people, and then dozens. I went to bed and woke to find thousands of pledges promising money to charity if Steve would scarf the eggs."
Now, for those who did not listen to the last podcast, did he indeed scarf the eggs?
He did.
Ooh.
We read this request that was on, like, Reddit talking about it. It may have even been his original post. I have no idea. And we just read through it, and we're like, well, this has to be a joke post. Like, there's no way this can actually possibly exist. So, but do go back and listen to the last episode. We read the whole thing, and I can't remember many episodes in which I just completely break down laughing. But the whole way the request was written was just like, you know, if you hate eggs and hate cancer, you get to do 2 things here. It was so ridiculous that, but as is with rock and roll, if it's too ridiculous to be true, it has probably happened. So just wanted to clear that up for everyone. So next up, we're going to play a song by a band called Cardiac Cassette. The song is also called Cardiac Cassette. I had a band bail a few days before the Planned Parenthood thing, which was ultimately canceled, and someone recommended Cardiac Cassette, which is a band I never heard of, and it's really cool. So it reminds me of, like, Green Day meets Save the Day. It's got some nice distortions, some nice emo-y vocal harmonies, and the drummer from BD2, formerly Billy Draws 2, is in them as well. So I'm going to talk some previous shows, but first, we're going to listen to Cardiac Cassette by Cardiac Cassette here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
My heart is ready.
are back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. So, before the world got shut down, I got to go see a couple concerts. So, Kel, you might have been there for one of them, too.
Oh, I might have.
Maybe. We'll find out. So, first at Milky's, we had a great lineup. We had James Robert Kibbe, Astrobula, Jen DeSantis, and then the two highlights of the evening. The fourth band that played was Kevin Kaufman's band, Real Movement, and they're really great. They're really energetic. It's a lot of fun. It reminds me a lot of kind of upbeat, a little unhinged, kind of Modest Mouse-y, like alt-rock. They're a great time. I would highly recommend going to see them. That was kind of their the first time playing with their new version of the band. I guess they Kevin's been kind of trying to get some people in place, but you know how that can be. So, it was the first show they had with their new keyboard player, and I thought it was fantastic, and I would absolutely recommend them. And then after them was Rachmaninoff. I don't know if they spell it differently than is it a composer, Rachmaninoff?
You should know. You have an education in music.
Oh, God. I didn't pay attention to that part. So, their name is Rachmaninoff. The singer, Gary London, reached out to me a while ago and was, you know, just like, hey, can I get a show? And I looked at his stuff, and it was a lot of cover songs. And, you know, when I see that off the topic, it makes me a little worried. But he sent me a video of a song, and I'm not going to remember the title. God damn it. It's really good. Based off that, I thought maybe he'd be a good fit for to go on Kevin's show. And his band, I believe they typically perform as a four-piece with a drummer. This time they only had three members there. So they had guitarist, vocalist, keyboardist, and I cannot remember if that other guy was playing bass or guitar.
Other guy, if you're listening, let us know.
Bass. Yeah, it has to be bass. I'd be here complaining if it wasn't bass. And, man, they could fucking sing. They, like, right out the bat, it was just three-part harmonies the whole night. And I'm not the biggest country fan by any means, but, like, they had that whole bar just eating out of the palm of their hand by, like, the second song. The fact that so many people stayed as late as they did to see them. And, yeah, they were fantastic. So I'll definitely be putting them on more shows. The singer's name is Gary London, or I don't know if he's the singer. He's kind of the ringleader, I guess. Gary London. He has some of his own solo material out. So check him out online. I was super impressed by what they could do. There aren't a lot of bands who can sing that well. And then if you can hear any noise in the background, that is Rocket. Usually Kelly's in the other room with him, keeping him quiet. But it is just the three of us.
No, I'm not going to sing that. No one wants to hear me sing that.
Oh, man. For a second, a split second, I thought you were going
to
do it.
We have a captive audience, so I could, but I respect them too much to do that to them.
Respect.
You're welcome, everyone.
Respect for my audience. Bah. No. And then the other show, we had one on March 10th at the stage. It was a show kind of the best young local performers, and we had Not For Nothing, who I hadn't had a chance to see. I had been dying to see them. They played. They were great. Let's talk about the lineup first. It was Not For Nothing, Mind Chaser, Gunther's Radio, Tooth, Jen DeSantis, and Michael Delano. Now, first off, we've already talked about Tooth and Michael Delano and Jen DeSantis, so I'm going to just keep them to the side a little bit for this one. We all know. Everyone knows what I think of them. Not For Nothing it's a mix of alt-rock with these soulful jazz vocals. Jaden Bryce, the singer, I think she's only 17, is fantastic. Their drummer their bassist couldn't make the show, so the drummer filled in on bass and sang. And this, I think they're like all 18-ish. He played better than half the bassists I see in Buffalo. The backup bassist, the drummer for this band, could play their song. That's incredible. Mind Chaser played. They've got a really cool bluesy alt-rock sound. Reminded me a lot of the Strokes. I really liked their energy. I thought they were a lot of fun. And then I can't get enough of Gunther's Radio. They're another bunch of young kids from they're from Hamburg. They're actually Gunther's Radio. I think I've probably mentioned this before. Gunther's Radio is actually a reference reference to Gunther's Hill, which is the hill I loved sledding on most as a child over in Hamburg. So that got me pulled into him. But John Farrah, the lead singer, reminds me of Mark Norris from Girl Pope, who was like... That was, like, the first local band that I really, really got into, and hearing them, hearing a bunch of young kids doing, like, this really, like, early 90s kind of alt-rock is fantastic. And I said I was burning down the house, but it's later.
They're coming for you.
It's so weird. Like we're used to hearing a ton of traffic go back and forth here, but now it's just emergency vehicles, typically. And guys who are like, there's no one in the road. I'm going to rev my bike up. By the way, you guys suck so much.
Yeah.
Oh, we got another one.
There goes another.
So, yeah, it was a great show. It was pretty well attended. Man, I wish the stage would start doing some 18-plus stuff, so hopefully when we get back from all this stuff, we can do that, because, you know, the more I'm seeing of these younger bands, like, not for nothing, I mean, like everyone I just mentioned, really, is that, you know, there are 18- to 21-year-olds who want to get out to shows, and there just aren't places. So, let's find some places.
Give the kids a place to go.
Yeah, the kids need a place to go, otherwise they're just going to be...
Otherwise they're kicking cans down alleys.
Yeah, they're playing hoop and stick. My favorite game from when I was a kid. So, next up, we are going to play a song from Not For Nothing. This is a demo of theirs, and it is called Homeschooled. And we're going to listen to that, and then I'm going to start complaining about stuff, and I'm going to make some people angry. I don't want to make people angry. I think I'm going to make people angry. So here's Homeschooled by Not For Nothing on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Sky in your eyes, you seem to love.
that.
I was homeschooled by Not For Nothing here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. All right. So I'm going to talk about some stuff today. Man, I don't like talking about negative stuff because I don't want to be one of those people, but I also think it's kind of my job as the person who's here to talk to you about the struggle to talk about my experiences with things.
Consider it constructive criticism,
yes.
Not negative.
And I just want people to know here, I'm not for these next two segments, I'm not saying this stuff to tell people, don't go here, don't do this. All I'm doing is sharing my experience, mostly, I hope, just the facts. A little opinion. But yeah, so, man. I don't want to do this, but I do feel it needs to be done. And, like, there's never an opportunity because we're always, I never have, like, a whole episode just to talk. So.
You can do it.
We can do this. All right. Thanks. Here, hold my hand.
Aww.
We actually are holding hands.
We actually are. Super cute.
All right. So I joined the Music Industry Alliance about this time last year. I was kind of excited about it. I was a little leery. From time to time you see things like this happen, and you know, at least my experience, you worry about groups like this falling into cliques or just, you know, problems and bitterness and arguing, and no one wants any of that. So I went to the first meeting, and everyone seemed really nice. I got to meet a few people. That was where I met a person I'm not going to mention by name because I'm going to say some bad things about someone that we worked with and not that person. Man, this is so weird, isn't it? I feel like maybe we should just use like that hidden voice thing.
We could come up with code names.
So anyway, I met some really cool people, and I wasn't really sold on it, but I thought, you know, I'm kind of doing all the music stuff for Infringement Festival. This would be a good group to work with where I can learn some stuff, maybe make a few connections. So first off, I did meet someone at that meeting, and if you listen to this podcast or know me, you know who I'm talking about. This person, at the same night they met me, they met another quote-unquote producer. This guy was without question the biggest fucking idiot I have ever dealt with. Everything he said was just, you know, even like with my bachelor's degree in music and knowing audio engineering, it was just plain wrong. He wanted to go into GCR and set up baffles because the acoustics weren't perfect enough. The acoustics are perfect in there. You don't need that. That's why that room exists. And he wanted to record backwards where we'd start with vocals and then work our way to drums, which, oh my God, that sounds like a challenge or a dare. That doesn't actually sound like something you want to do to professionally make a record. So I was working with an artist who met him the same night, and then 6 months later, enough of this guy's nonsense led to the band breaking apart. For me, I shared a link with him of a Google Drive file, and he was angry that I didn't do the thing where you, like, put his email address in and hit share, and I only gave him the link. So I was actually asked by the singer to write him an apology for how I shared a Google Drive file with him. And in the middle of it, I'm like, I'm not a fucking 10-year-old, and he's not either. Like, this is so stupid. And I said, I quit. I can't work with this anymore. Found out a month later that dude started saying some real creepy stuff, started taking more money than he deserved for certain projects, and it went very, very, very downhill. So for me, both having to deal with this horrible idiot producer guy, and I mean, it does suck putting, even without that, like being in a project for 6 months and then just kind of being not able to do it anymore because, you know, you're trying to use an area of which you have at least a little expertise, and it's just being drowned out by an idiot who made promises he couldn't keep.
Can I ask, Ryan?
Yes.
You can meet idiots anywhere. How did Music as Art respond? Did you let them know about this?
Yes. That is an excellent question. He has been removed from the group. His money has been refunded. He is not allowed back. But, I mean, when we came into these meetings, he was like one of the big wigs sitting at the table. He was one of the people who'd keep interrupting people because he knew all the facts and stuff. And the fact that they leaned on him at the beginning made me nervous. I think going into the meetings, I found it was hard for someone with kind of you know, I have a bachelor's degree in music. I have, you know, 5 years of experience post-school on that, give or take, with everything I'm doing. So I'm mid-level. And it seemed like there was a really good place for, like, beginners and people just starting things like, you know, taking – there was a meetup about taking pictures, and there was another one about, you know, Pro Tools 101. And that's great for those people, because that's something any young musician who doesn't go to college for music can use, absolutely. But it left something to be desired for me, and then I kind of tried at least coming in, and I tried talking to some of these artists, and I wanted to work with them. And then as soon as I'm done talking to them, you know, the bigger people in the room kind of swoop in, and then they start working with them. And it's like, well, I don't seem to be in a position where anyone wants to mentor me, nor am I in a position to mentor anyone. And I found that really frustrating, because I definitely came in there and wanted to help. As kind of like a mid-level, low to medium rung person in the area, it just I had a hard time kind of figuring out where I fit into the whole thing. Then a few meetings in, people were talking about making a directory for local bands, and I'm like, hey guys, that's my thing. Like, I've already got one together. And they completely, like, shrugged me off at the meeting when I said that. I'm like, hey, I have one. I'll be happy to contribute. And I was like, meh. So after the meeting, I sent the person a message, and only then they really took me seriously. I went into the offices there. They talked about making my directory open for Music as Art, the Music Industry Alliance people. They talked about, you know, maybe selling access for people. They talked about maybe a job, maybe some money, and I was head over heels. I was really happy about this. And listen, don't speculate about getting someone a job like that if it's not going to happen, and especially don't do it if you know the person you're speaking with has been disabled for 6.5 years and doesn't have a job. The first thing happens, and that doesn't bother me. The second one shouldn't. I hadn't worked in a really long time. I hadn't made any money, and this was like, this to me was like the best thing that ever happened to me. You were there when I came home. I was head over heels.
Not only something to make money, but the fact that this is something that you were loving doing anyway, and then to be able to also make a profession out of it, obviously you'd be over the moon.
So then I followed up, and after like 3 months, I'm like, well, I guess they're not interested. And then like 2 weeks ago, someone from Music as Art reaches out to me, and they're like, oh, well, looks like your directory's a little further ahead than ours. And it's like, yeah, no, that's because I've been working on it for like the last year when I asked you guys if you wanted to be involved with it, and you guys just blew me off, and that was kind of the last I heard about it then. But it's like, what do you guys want? Like, I just that really made me angry. I post a message about booking a show at Milky's on the board, and I got a guy being like, oh, I can't believe someone in the Alliance is booking at Milky's, because long story that honestly doesn't matter in the long run and happened a very long time ago. And so, like, I just, all this stuff is happening, and like, even on the message, like on the boards for it, I'd get in a fight with this guy about my show, and then just no one's sticking up for me here. Like, this guy's just talking shit, and like, someone in the group should stop that.
There should be a moderator just to keep things on a professional level.
And stuff's moderated now, but I mean, as far as I'm concerned, the damage was done at that point. And then, you know, these monthly events we were doing were supposed to be, you know, exclusive to members of the group. And then we're going to go to GCR and talk to Robbie Takac, and that's really exciting. And they're like, well, it's for members of the group, or $5 for everyone else. And it's like, for what I, you know, for the $50, $60 I paid for the year, like, that's just a $5 event. I could do that without being a member, you know. And now all it seems like all the events that they're doing now are available to the public for a very small price, which, I mean, I'll congratulate them for that. I think that's great. But then I almost feel like that devalues the membership a little bit.
And also, I believe you told me that there was at least one speaker who was giving some very odd and antiquated advice that does not seem like something a professional speaker should be giving. I mean, I don't even know anything about the music industry, and it struck me as a little odd.
Yeah, no, I definitely heard twice in different meetings there that you should never play on stage with your hat on backwards.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God.
Hold on, let me get my smelling salts. I'm not feeling well. Hold on.
And then, another guy, and then, you know, the 82-year-old skeleton they brought in was like, and no one's written a good song since the 1970s. And it's like, what are you doing here that's going to try and be pertinent and relevant?
He's helping them with their backward hat image issues.
I've actually heard there's also an issue with people wearing shorts on stage.
Why?
That's something I've heard people complain
about. I mean, you paid money to come into this exclusive place that would give you access to knowledge and wisdom and experience. How is that helping? Again, I am a total noob, but, you know, I've seen plenty of bands and not cared about what was on their legs.
Yeah.
Personally.
All right. So that's that. That's what happened. That's just kind of, like I said, I'm not telling, like, I know, like, people like Michael Delano, I know, have gotten just a great amount of help from this. I think Samantha Taylor is another local singer-songwriter, and I'm sure a lot of other people have really gotten a lot out of this, but, you know, buyer beware. I don't think it's that for absolutely everyone, and just something to think about is all.
And also, if you're coming up and getting advice, don't assume that everyone who talks to you has the best advice or knows what they are saying. Weigh it against common sense. Talk to people who actually are working currently in the industry and, you know.
That'll take me to one quick point before we cut off to our next song. And I think I may have mentioned this in a recent episode, but if you are a local person on the music scene, find some advisors. Find people that you can ask questions to if you need to. Sometimes it could be like, hey, I'm thinking about putting this band on my show. What do you know about them? Because I've had people who have been at my house for something and they'll mention, oh, we're not playing a show with this band. And I'm like, oh, those guys did this. And they're like, what did I do? So I think it's just good to have a group of trusted people that you can have. I think that's absolutely important. So,
and also, ladies, if you encounter someone who's given off some skeezy vibes, trust your gut.
Yep.
That's all I gotta say. We all called some things way ahead of time. Just
yep.
Common sense.
Honestly,
street smarts.
The first time I saw him, I'm like, do you want me to hang around? And they're like, no, he's gonna buy me a drink. And I'm like, should you drink that drink?
Just, you know, ladies, you trust your gut. It knows
yeah,
what it's doing.
Yeah. I agree with that completely. All right. Well, we are going to play a new song. This is by a band called Whitetails. The song is called Spot of Shade. Kind of reminds me of Band of Horses. It's nice and chill. If I was going to compare it to someone locally, Jordan Potter, who I really like, would be someone who I think would fall right in that place. So here's Spot of Shade by Whitetails on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast on allwny.com.
Thank you.
We are back here on the Struggle Is Real Buffalo Music podcast. That was Spot of Shade by Whitetails, a brand new track. I tried to keep all of my dog's chew toys away from him, and now my dog, who his back legs were paralyzed when we got him, is now trying to climb up the table. I'm going to give him a squeak toy, and I think we're just going to have to deal with him.
You guys are going to have a little percussion in the background. This is Apocalypse Radio, after all.
All right. So, I really did felt a little guilty talking about music as art in that last thing, because I really think what they're trying to do is important, and, you know, they have the original goal of just getting musical instruments for children, and I think that's beautiful, and I think the festival's a wonderful thing, too. So I just want to reiterate that here. Now we're going to talk about a place that I don't feel as guilty talking about.
Gloves are off.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, I got so excited I burped a little bit. So, we went to see the Get Up Kids at the Rec Room.
Mm-hmm.
So, here's what happened. So, as a person who can't stand for long periods of time, I need to get disabled seating. Most venues are super awesome with it. The Rec Room, I left a voicemail with them. They texted me within half an hour and told me that I'd have reserved seating, and they were quick and responsive, and I was extremely happy about that. So we got to the venue, and the food was decent. I got a sampler platter. It had pizza logs, french fries, chicken fingers, which were all good. It had mozzarella sticks that were a little undercooked, and the marinara sauce was kind of watery and tasteless. Kel, how was your veggie burger?
It was amazing. It was a Beyond Burger, or a better than one of those burger-ish things, and it was fantastic.
Good.
Crunchy, well done, yummy, fries were fantastic. Starting off on a real good note, impressed, real looking forward to what's going to happen.
You had those waffle fries,
they
right?
So
they were excellent. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean,
kudos on the food.
So, outside of the mozzarella sticks, good food. I liked it. So, Cooler went on first. Dude, they're awesome. They are so good. They remind me of kind of like 90s alt-rock acts like Juliana Hatfield and Letters to Cleo. It's like pop-punky, but a little rocky. And Allie, the lead singer, she has a beautiful voice. And I love a three-piece that can really fill a room with sound. And they do a great job of that. And I'm really impressed with everything they're doing. They're solid musicians. The songwriting was great. And there was a variance in their songs. It just didn't sound like they were playing the same song over and over again. So up until this point, everything is great. You were having a good time, Kel?
Yeah, I was looking forward to the rest of it.
I was having a good time, too. So as soon as Cooler ended, they start playing this reggae music. Now, was it just me, or was the reggae music louder than Cooler?
I was in the restroom, and the bass was thumping so loud, I felt like I was having a heart arrhythmia. I mean, it was for a club. Had I been at a club, I feel that it would have been a tad much.
Yeah, like we're not at a dance club, we're at a venue, and the reggae music in and of itself seemed a little out of place, but I couldn't talk to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I didn't have earplugs in for Cooler, and I had earplugs in for the music in between. So, it was about a 45-minute to an hour-long wait for the Get Up Kids.
Yeah.
So, about 45 minutes into the wait, I am at we are in the third booth from the front. It's right in front of the sound booth. They kind of go backwards from the stage. So, some guys start climbing up on the booth in front of us, just sitting on the top of it. So at one point I go over and I'm like, hey, just, you know, this is disabled seating. If you could please not sit up here, I'd really appreciate it. And he's like, yeah. As soon as, when the band start playing, we'll all get down. And, that didn't happen. I took a picture of my seat. I think I posted it on Instagram. I'll probably post it on Facebook after this episode. I wanted to talk about it first before I posted the photo, just so it had a little bit more context. But, we couldn't see anything.
And they were tall guys, tall people, as a shorty. Can I just have a quick little PSA plea? If you're super tall, you can already see stuff. We have trouble, so maybe don't stand in the front of the crowd or don't sit up on top of the booth. I mean, it literally nobody could see anything.
Yeah, it was like my photo of the stage was just the backs of four guys. And then, And the Get Up Kids sounded terrible, too. And now, I don't know, like, I mean, you can agree with me, it was muddy. Like, it was really boomy and low-end, like a lot of bass and kick drum.
Right,
like,
and he always tells me that if we are right by the sound guy, that's the best place in the house, in the, venue for sound, because you're hearing exactly what he is, and it should be mixed perfectly. And it was just, maybe my ears were shattered from all the bass that had happened during the break.
That was actually...
During the 45-minute to an hour break, but it just all sounded like mush. And the bass, the drum and the bass was really loud.
So that was actually the point I wanted to get to, is there is, you know, ear fatigue exists. You know, if you work in a recording studio, you're not supposed to just have your head in something for 16 hours straight, because eventually your ears get fatigued. And when you have a loud, thumping, unnecessarily bone-rattling bass, maybe the sound was better than we thought, but my ears were so just wrung at that point, I couldn't tell the difference. We stayed for two songs, and then we left. I mean, the sound was terrible at that point. Cooler Sound was great.
It was.
Cooler sounded perfectly fine.
Yeah,
like, I have no idea what happened from that point forward. But, I mean, if we couldn't see and the sound was terrible, and, you know, I'm happy we got out to see Cooler, but, you know, those tickets were $20 each, and I certainly don't feel like I got any value out of that. And then, another thing that really bothered me is when these guys were sitting on the top, I'm like, I'm going to find someone who works here, and I'm going to find some security or something to take care of this, because I've already spoken to these guys, so they've already showed me that they are A, scumbags, and B, don't give a fuck. So I know there's nothing, you know, and they've been getting can service or bottle service.
And holding their little reserved sign over their head to show the rest of the crowd for like 20 minutes straight. We didn't care.
Man.
It was real douchey. Just
when 40-year-old
men
act like
12-year-olds. Don't be those guys.
I couldn't find a security guard there. There were two people who were working the front door. There was the sound guy. The bar was completely understaffed. It was just two bartenders and one bar back, and one of the bartenders was definitely chatty with, like, all the people there, so, you know, it seemed like every drink would be, like, 3 minutes long before the next one, and so I didn't have anyone I could go to be like, hi, I'm having a problem, can you please fix this? And, yeah, it sucks.
And
I wanted to see the Get Up Kids, you know, 15 years ago when we all thought they played their last show, and I never thought I'd get a chance to see them, and I didn't really get a chance to actually, you know, see them.
If you have a venue and you are providing disabled seating, that's fantastic. But maybe you could have put us in the booth at the front, because we will be sitting down. That is why we need the seating. And if you know, everyone was doing this. Everyone was sitting on the top of the booth,
yeah.
Probably to try to see around the people in front of them who were sitting on top of the booth. But if you're going to have disabled seating, maybe allow them to see things. Somewhere that does it perfect is the Trelf. No, Town Ballroom.
Town Ballroom.
Town
yes.
Ballroom. You know, they're tiered, and there are seats with a little roped off area right by one of the tiers, right by the stairs that go down. You can see perfectly. You can sit the entire time, and nobody is in your way. If you're going to set a booth aside, maybe have it one where people who can't stand can see. It just seemed like poor planning.
I mean, even for me, when I went to see Beck at the Albright Knox, mm-hmm. people were just leaning on the thing. And,
right.
like, I remember poking people with my cane and being like, hi, this is what – do you not see the people with the wheelchairs that you're standing in front of? And it's just – it's amazing. So, yeah, man, like bad on the Rec Room
right.
for not thinking about any of this stuff enough ahead of time and not having the staff to properly take care of this. And shame on those fucking douchebags
yeah.
who are sitting in that thing in front of me. Like, that's... I don't even have words for that when you say, I'm disabled, can you please just... All I'm asking you to do is just sit in your seat.
Right.
And they can't do that.
In your reserved bottle service booth that you're clearly very proud of. Just enjoy it.
So, yeah. This has been a depressing episode, hasn't it?
We can end on something positive.
Well, but we still have time. Folks, there's still time.
There's still time.
There is still time. So next up, we're going to play a song. It is by, maybe appropriately, it's by Bastard, Bastard, Bastard. And then they actually gave me a few songs from the new album to check out, and I saw one of them was called Diseased. And I'm like, there's not a song that fits more perfectly right now than a song called Diseased. So here is Diseased by Bastard, Bastard, Bastard on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music podcast on allwny.com.
Bring it out, kiddo! Bring out today.
And we are back here on the Struggle is Real Buffalo Music Podcast. That was Disease. How appropriate. By Bastard, Bastard, Bastard. So, oh man. So we got 9 minutes to just bust a move here. So first off,
bust it.
Kelly and I want to start a podcast, and we want to make fun of stuff, but we don't know what to make fun of. So
make fun of stuff together, make fun of each other, a little bit of both.
I like that. Uh-huh. So we have this idea. So if you have any ideas for what we could do together, let us know, because you're just not creative anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying, but yeah. My old brain gets tired.
All the good podcast ideas are taken.
They kind of already are.
Yeah.
That's why we're bringing you another.
Absolutely. We're going to see, people keep talking about how there's going to be like a baby boom in December from like Corona. I think there's going to be a podcast boom.
Ooh, much better.
Yes.
Much better for the economy.
All right. So I posted on Facebook and I asked you guys to ask me some questions. Ask me anything, I said. Only two of you responded. Guys. Come on, you can ask
me anything. Anything. What do you want to know about Ryan Durant?
You can keep asking me anything, because who knows how long this quarantine's going to go. And I'm really going to be milking it after a couple episodes. So ask me. Maybe I'll even base an entire episode off your question. I think that's a fun I like that.
No holds barred.
No holds barred. Well, maybe some holds barred.
It's brainstorming. Toss it up on the wall.
No holds
we'll
barred.
Tell you if it sucks.
I like that. All right, Kelly.
Yes.
Why don't you ask me some questions?
All right. Is this thing in blue something I'm reading? It's not a question.
That is who it is from.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Okay. South Buffalo Porch Fest. We like them. Wrote in and wanted to know, what is your favorite live music venue in Buffalo for local music?
Ooh. I'm going to be a little homer and say Milky's. I really like going to shows there. But if you're asking for the best concert experience, I don't know. I actually don't. Like, I think Town Ballroom's excellent, and I like Town Ballroom. But the Trelf is definitely more comfortable. But the Trelf doesn't get acts that are that good. But they also have food.
Yes, I love the food while watching
a
concert.
The food is great there. But they're also dicks about letting me in for concerts to review them. So I'm really conflicted about the Trelf.
We're going to have to do a tally of pros and cons during this isolation. See who comes out on top.
I like that. But I hate to say it, but it's probably the Trelf. It's a great room. I wish it would be utilized better. I wish we'd see more local bands.
Agreed.
But no, it's a really nice, comfortable space.
Question number two. What is on your current playlist?
Oh my God.
What isn't?
That's kind of the answer. Oh, man, I've actually been making playlists while in isolation here. But
what are some of your go-to songs that you put on people's
CDs? Man, I think I've been putting some of the Eves on just about everything.
Nice.
Not all of my mixes are either local or national. There's some of them is a mix, but I've been, ever since we had Chelsea on for the last episode and we kind of talked a little more about kind of what goes into her songwriting, Curves and Edges, to me, just I can't listen to that song without getting like goosebumps, because I just completely relate to that song. Passed Out's always on my playlist. They're fantastic. Man, I feel like I should just go into like iTunes here, which isn't on that computer. I can't even go into iTunes to find out.
You did have these questions ahead of time. You could have pre-come up with
but
your
answers. I thought it'd be more interesting.
Oh, off the cuff.
See? Off
gotcha,
the cuff.
Gotcha.
I'm always listening to Over and Out, On the Cinder, Ian McCune, he's always at the top of my list. That guy, oh man, I want to fall asleep to his pretty voice. So, yeah, I think that answers the question, right?
Ian McCune, if you're looking for income during these quarantine times, you can come over and sing Ryan to sleep.
Oh,
we
shit.
We will pay you for it. You can then quietly creep out so it's not weird.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I don't see any problem in this at all.
Oh, wait, no, but he'd have to come in, and that's a germ thing. You can do it virtually.
Well, yeah, ooh.
Virtual lullabies. There you go. There's a side income for you. There's a side income. You're welcome.
Virtual lullabies.
We'll take a cut of that idea.
Yeah. We'll take 20%, Mr. McCune. I will say it's going to be right around the time this comes out on Wednesday night / Thursday morning from midnight to 2 a.m. I'm going to be on 104.3 FM in Rochester. They actually did ask me to make a playlist. So I got to pick an hour and a half of my favorite music. I think it's about 70% local, about 30% touring acts, and I'm going to be talking about all that. So if you are interested in hearing what's on my playlist, check that out. If you're not in the Rochester area or you're not up between midnight and 2 because you're not insane, it will be available for streaming. I'm not sure exactly what the address is yet, but that will be on the Facebook page as soon as it's available. So if you are further interested in what's on my playlist, you can check it all out there. That worked out well, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, look at that. All right, what's next?
All right. What do you think about the sustainability of local music venues? Even after what is hoped to be a short break from operations, the economy will still be hit hard.
Oh, man. I don't know, honestly. Like,
we all don't know.
Like, even speaking with, you know, the people at the venues I work at, you know, it seems like the stage is not going to, you know, as long as this doesn't go into like September, I think they're going to be fine. I've just talked to them about setting up some shows for June, and then, you know, with the rest of them, you know, as soon as we're all done with this, we're ready to go. I would really like, you know, we are getting our, you know, what is that, our tax checks.
The stimulus checks.
The stimulus checks. So hopefully a lot of people aren't going to be hit too hard in the wallet, though that's, you know, obviously going to be something that happens. But, you know, looking at all of the people talking about local music and all the people performing local music online, I think maybe I'm just being an optimist. I really think there's going to be an uptick in concert attendance once we go through this. I don't know how long it's going to last for, but I think there will be. And I hope that'll make up for some of the lost money that's kind of gotten us here in the first place.
And also, all of you who are going absolutely stir crazy after only like a few days of this, hopefully when all of this opens again, people will be more interested in going to see interesting things in their area, and it's not nearly as expensive as going to see someone at like an arena show. So like, come be social, come pack into a room very close with other people.
Yes.
Without worrying how much
you
do
can.
You miss that now.
Yeah.
Cough on anybody that you want and support some people who are down, you know, when things shut down.
Don't you miss being coughed on at a bar? It's coming back, folks. Buffalo, New York, 2020. But yeah, no, I do think there'll be an uptick coming right out of it. And again, you know, I don't think it's going to last forever, but you just hope that, you know, when we do get that uptick, it gives people who wouldn't normally go to shows an opportunity to see these bands that they wouldn't see. And then maybe they say, okay, you know, maybe they don't drop off then at the end.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just about, you know, having our stuff ready. And you musicians have just no excuse at all. Like practice, man. You got time.
You all need to be maestros by the end of this. We expect it.
Virtuoso, I think.
That's the word I was looking for.
No. I mean, if they want to conduct.
All right. Whatever you want to do.
We have one last question.
All right. What are some of your favorite live streaming platforms local musicians have tapped into to bridge the live performance gap so far?
I haven't seen much more than Facebook, and I honestly don't have to, you know. Like I said at the beginning, you know, it'd be really fun if I could just come on here and be like, well, on Monday you can see this guy, and this guy. But everyone's just posting everything, and I think that's great, you know. You know, I don't think you have to do these live streaming performances to ask for tips. I think if you just want to do a song or two and then, you know, hope some people might buy something on Bandcamp, you can do that too. But for me, you know, I get most of my work done in Facebook. It's how I contact bands. It's how I run the podcast. So I'm always in there. So for me, just having that already right in front of me seems to make the most sense. I don't have to get an extra app, or I don't have to be redirected to another website. It's just there right in front of me. So yeah. And that's it. Folks, we have a minute and 26 seconds left. Oh, so an update on WNYmusic.com.
Oh, yes.
We are about 75% done with the list. Once the list is done, we're hoping everything else will be ready to go up then. We've got someone designing the front page. We have someone working on the calendar on the back end. I'm working on the list. If you are bored and you have time, I can always use help, especially with this data entry portion of the project. It is even with like 4 hours at a time to put into it when I can, like it still takes a long time. It's still a beast. But if we all work at it together, because this is supposed to be a website for the community, So let's all get together and work on it if we have the time. And then, you know, really soon, I'm hoping. I'm hoping by the end of April. I know it's talking the end of January, but I'm sure by the end of May it'll definitely be ready. End of June, July.
Hopefully before we all return to society.
That would be great.
But we'll see.
I would like. Wouldn't it be great to be like, hey, you can't get out of your house. Check this shit out. So I'm hoping. But so that's coming soon, folks. So keep an eye out for that. And next up, we will have episode number 54. I've been asking people who've been making home recordings since they're stuck inside to send them to me. So I think we're going to have all sorts of wacky home recordings, plus some artists who are releasing some stuff that they can't really physically release anywhere right now. So yeah, we'll have all sorts of interesting stuff. So tune in next time. That should be around April 15th. And guys, just stay inside. Don't complain.
You literally have a chance to save the world by sitting on your couch in your pajamas and binging on Netflix.
Like, yeah.
Don't fuck this up.
Yeah, seriously. So, you know, I am one of the vulnerable in this scenario, and I would very much like to live. So if you folks can just, you know, not spread it and just stay inside for just a little while, and then we'll all get back together and we're gonna have a fucking party. This is like summer break for college.
Yes.
And like, but that weekend when we get back, that's like gonna be the first rager. Like I was telling Kelly earlier, like if that's the 4th of July, holy shit, we are gonna burn this country to the ground in the best way possible. So yeah, so just, you know, be kind to everyone, be responsible, don't be selfish, and like I always say, be kind. We're all struggling. Life's hard. Thanks, and keep on struggling.
Bye.